Amen. I noticed this morning we have some guests with us today, and just want you to know how thrilled we are that you're here today. And it never ceases to amaze me how God works within the body, the different things that He accomplishes unbeknownst to us. Go on, come on, Gary. And so we're just thrilled that you're here. Gary's going to let you know of some opportunities. One thing I want to point out, that is that the last Sunday of this month, April 28th, is Baptism Sunday. And if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, but you want to make a public profession of faith, you know, Jesus was baptized. He served as an example. The scripture says that when he was baptized by John the Baptist, that the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And it's like a wedding. It's like a ceremony where we commit ourselves. We've done that already in our heart, but where we publicly make that. And there's people that go to weddings, aren't there? You know, they're witnesses. They're there to say, "Hey, we witnessed this great event," but we're also here to say, "Hey, we support you in this. We're with you in this fight." Not only talking about marriage, but yeah, right? We're in this with you. We're committed to you, right? And that's so important about baptism. It's the church just as much an opportunity for us as it is the believer to say, "Look, we're with you. We're support you. We're gonna help you grow in your faith and all those good things." So if you're considering that, text the word "baptize" to the number up on the screen, and you can read a little bit more about baptism. And if you want to do that, just respond yes, and that will come to us, and we'll get you fixed up. Okay, Gary, tell us what else we got going on.
We're glad you're here, and we want you to text the word "guest" to 238-4542. We just want to. You know, make sure we don't miss you. You don't fall through the cracks. So we want to be a blessing to you. And so we're going to connect you to our church. And you can also give. If you want to give your the Lord's tithe or your offering, you can also give as well online as well. If you are a first-time guest, we want to thank you for being here. We welcome you in Jesus' name this morning. We're going to receive the offering, but we don't expect you to give this Sunday. We wanted you to receive. So, matter of fact, we have a gift for you. So after the service, make your way to the welcome station, and we have a gift just to say we're so glad you came this morning. But we're going to receive the Lord's tithes and your offering. And at Abundant Life Fellowship, we do it in a processional. We bring our offerings and place them up here in the basket. So before we're going to pray, but before we do that, make an altar where you are. Thank the Lord for the way that He provides for your family each and every day and every week. And then bring your offerings and place them up here in the basket. Couple of announcements, though, before we pray. Wednesday night is our midweek discipleship. We have something for everybody in the family, whether you're 2 months old or whether you're 104. Okay? There is something for everybody. So at 6:30, we gather in this place. We've got the kids that gather together. We've got the youth that gather together with Tony Leos. They spend time together. And then we've got a class for Pastor Danny is leading a new class on faith and family. Is that right? Is that still the topic? And then Brother Donnie is leading a prayer group, and he's been taking us through the book of Hebrews as well. So, guys, there's so much to get involved with on Wednesday nights at 6:30. And then, men, the last Saturday at 8 a.m., I think that's April the 24th this month. Is it 27th? I think it's 27th. We gather together for men's prayer breakfast in that room right there. So we'd love to have you guys come and join us for that. Let's pray and then bring your offerings and place them in the basket, and then Pastor Denny is going to preach this morning. Father, we love you, God. We thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you for your presence in this place, God. And Lord, we just thank you for the way that you provide for us, God, each and every day. God, you are our providers, God. We may work for an employer, but you provide. Everything that we have is from your hand. So, God, right now, we just want to be faithful stewards. So we give back a portion just to say thank you for being our provider. And do with it as you see fit, God. We love you, and we ask everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We had, I guess it was this week for chapel. Audrey leads our chapel. And there was a part of our songs that the team just kind of, they kind of went quiet. And it was just the kids that were singing. And this section right here is our elementary kids. And they are the best choir I've ever heard in my life. And I'm not exaggerating. And I'm going to tell you something. When they sing, it's like the Holy Spirit says, okay, let's have church. I mean, I can't describe to you how God's presence just comes down, you know. And I was checking my feet to see if I was elevating off the ground. It was awesome. But Audrey does such a great job, doesn't she? You guys let her know. She's just got such a pure heart and does a good job leading us. Yeah. Yeah. Let me remind you, church, let's keep praying for Israel. Last night, over 300 drones, ballistic missiles, cruise missiles hit the nation of Israel. Of course, the dome of protection. Now, that dome of protection, I believe, is the custodian of that is God. That's His nation. He protects His people. And God says that we're to pray for them. We're to pray for their peace. We're to pray for their blessings. So keep them. I usually have an Israel flag, and I forgot to bring it out just to remind us. But let's pray for Israel, and let's pay attention. Amen? Always pay attention to what's going on in Israel. And because they are shadows of things to come. They're signs of things to come. Matter of fact, our series, part two, of our life after death is on the rapture. And there's a couple things about the rapture that I want to make really clear. We went to the Crisis Pregnancy Center banquet, and Kirk Cameron was the speaker. And he did such a great job lighting a fire. I don't know about the rest of you, but he lit a fire in me. Because it's easy to sit and watch our Fox News, he said, eat our Chick-fil-A chicken, right? And begin to just go, oh, this world's going to hell in a breadbasket, right? Let's put on our sackcloth ashes and just pray right where we're at and just stay there. Right? God's got for us a work to do. Wherever you are, you are in a mission field. Your job is a mission field, wherever you are. God has graced us as believers a platform. That platform is the Holy Spirit. He's in us. He gives us power. He gives us boldness so that we can do not just sit there and eat our Chick-fil-A chicken and complain, right? Or get on our social media and vent and do all those kinds of things. And some of you guys have an online presence. You have a lot of likes and all those good things. Use it for the glory of God. Use it to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Okay, we're not ashamed of the gospel, for it has the power to transform lives, to change lives. I've seen it happen so many times. I don't know that there's a greater miracle than when God transforms a person's life. The former things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so we got a work to do. So I hope that this morning's message will just light a fire in you. And you'll say, let's go, right? Are you guys paying attention to what's going on? You guys know the eclipse, right? I mean, there is a lot of attention given to the eclipse. They talked about the economy that was boosted because people went out and spent money so they could go see the eclipse. Why is that? I think it's because people are intrigued. I believe there are people who are paying attention. Unfortunately, there are so many voices in our world, they're paying attention to the wrong voices. We have the right voice. We have the gospel. And so I'm just going to tell you this. I'm going to remind you again. Listen, this thing called mortality, it's no respecter of persons. We are all going to face death. Ignoring it doesn't make it go away, right? And there's no amount of money that you have that can purchase your way out. We are all going to die. That's morbid, Pastor Danny. It's the truth. And it's something that we need to be aware of, right? Well, how can we not be aware of it? Well, God says that our days are numbered. However, there is one extenuating event that's going to take place. And it could be in our lifetime. And we wouldn't have to face that death. And that event is what we know as the rapture. And that's the subject of this morning's message. Luke 21, verse 25 through 28, it tells us that there are signs that God gives us. Aren't you thankful for that? There are signs. Now, the scripture says that we won't know the day. We won't know the hour, right? Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven. Not even the Son, that's Jesus, but only God the Father. Don't ask me to explain that. I can't do that. I just by faith receive it, accept it, and move on. But we can know the season. The Bible tells us that there is coming one of the most monumental and pivotal days in all of world history. And God gives us this, you know, the eclipse should be a sign unto us, right? Pay attention. Luke 21, 25 through 28 says this, there would be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth, distress of nations. Can we just say that there is distress in nations around our world today? In perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. Verse 26, people fainting with fear, with foreboding of what is coming on this world. How many of you guys have seen people that just, they hear the news, they hear circumstances, and they just kind of have these cry sessions. Remember that? Remember that happened? You know, people would just begin to cry. University students would gather in rooms, they just begin to cry. That's just, I don't know about that. Verse 27, and when they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up. Raise your heads because your redemption is drawing nigh. Listen, it's time for the church to straighten up, to look up, to pay attention, right? Man, the devil is using distractions today. I don't believe there's any more distractions that has ever been than there are right now. And God's saying, pay attention. You know, unfortunately, he doesn't do like my dad. He doesn't shake me, right, and say, pay attention, son. But he gives us his word. And so, let's look at his word this morning. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to be there throughout the chapter. Now, listen, guys, when I prepare my sermons, I usually can kind of indicate as to what amount of time I'm going to spend preaching by the number of pages of my notes. And they're usually about 5 to 6. I got 7 today, so get ready. Are you ready? Okay? If we need a seventh inning stretch, we'll stand up. But there's a lot of information here that we need to receive. And I don't want anybody to walk out saying I'm confused. And if you are, call me and we'll meet together over a cup of coffee or lunch because these things are worth knowing. We got to know these things, so important. Okay, the Bible tells us there is coming one of the most monumental and pivotal days in all of world history. The day, listen, when millions from every tribe and nation of people will be evacuated from this planet. And the Greek word is the word harpazo, which means to be snatched up or caught up. In Latin, the word is rapturo, which is where we get the English word rapture. You won't find the English word in the Bible, but you'll find the original language, right, in the Bible. And that's what it means, to be snatched up, to be caught up, to meet the Lord in the air. That's going to be amazing. I'll just be honest with you. I kind of want to be around when that happens. I really do. You know what? I will be there. Whether I go to sleep and I'm laid in a cemetery somewhere, or I'm alive. Either way, I'm going to be there. I hope you will be too. So let's look together at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Hallelujah! There will come a day, listen, where we will always be in the presence of Almighty God. Listen, we're going to be raptured from this earth by Christ himself. And it's going to be a quick moment. And there's going to be the sound of God's trumpet. I have no idea what that sounds like. If you know, come let me know, okay? But I can just imagine it's going to be ominous. And to some, it's going to strike fear. But to some, it's going to be a comforting sound, right? It's going to be, oh, okay, it's here, right? It's going to be amazing. It will be a time of, listen, unprecedented chaos, like never experienced on this earth. There are going to be automobile crashes everywhere, because people who are driving will be raptured up. There'll be airline and airplane pilots who will be, and I hope that there are people on that plane that can fly that plane. But if not, can you imagine? There will be news outlets that will try to explain these events. They may say that an alien abduction has happened. They're going to try to put reason, right, human reason, to this supernatural event that was caused by God. And so if they're denying God today, they're going to deny that God has raptured. They're going to try to explain it away. And it's going to be a time of terror. It's going to be a time of anguish. There are going to be people who are left behind, and they're going to know exactly what's happened. And they're going to live in such regret, and they're going to live in such fear. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like to be left behind. I remember back in the 70s, there was a movie called Left Behind. And I was a little boy, and I watched. I remember there was a man that was shaving. Next thing you know it, he's been raptured to heaven. And the wife goes into the bathroom, and the razor's still going. And I was like, oh, my word, I don't want to be left behind. I remember there have been times when I was at the house. I remember we were Last Key kids during the summertime, and we'd often get a list of chores to do, you know, and usually when mom was supposed to be home, at that time she was not. I got up early in the morning, she went home, and I don't know where my brother was. Everybody in the house was gone, and I thought for sure I'd been left behind. Now you laugh, but I was terrified. I fell on my knee. You talk about repent. I don't know if God used it for a reason, but it got my attention. It got my attention. But listen, the reality is it's going to be a time of terror and anguish. A lot of us who are watching what's happening in the world today, especially in Israel. My twin brother called me. He has a coworker whose family live in Jerusalem. And he with a broken voice said, oh, Dan, I need you to pray right now. And I said, Tommy, let's not be fearful. You know, we're watching something take place in the stage, which is the scripture, prophecy being fulfilled. And you know, let's not get scared, right? But let's use it as a means to say, hey, we've got to wake up and pay attention. And so many of us believe that the time for this awesome event is drawing near. Before we look deeper at all the passages of scripture that describe this event, I love Dr. David Jeremiah. How many of you guys follow Dr. David Jeremiah? Incredible prophecy teacher. He's a pastor at Shadow Mountain in California. And he often refers to the signs, those things that are developing concerning the Lord's return. And he says this, and nothing needs to happen before Jesus comes back to take us home to be with him. Right? That those things have already taken place. And so let's talk about what David Jeremiah means. And so to do that, I've got a diagram on the screen to help us understand. These are biblical events that are going to take place, and they are sequential events. And so the first thing that you see on the chart is the first coming of Christ. That was God coming to earth, Emmanuel, God being with us, and he took on flesh. The Bible says he dwelt with us for 33 years. That is God's special revelation to us. You want to know who God is? Know who Jesus is. And we see through the life and ministry of Christ how compassionate he was, how that he demonstrated the speaking of truth through the Sermon on the Mount, right? The Great Commission. He was a man of authority, right? And so that's the first coming of Jesus Christ some 2,000 plus years ago. And then the next event, which we have on the timeline, is the church age. And that's where we are currently right now. We make up that church age. And it's the age between the coming of Christ the first time and the coming of the Christ the second time. And then if you'll look at that event that's going to change everything forever, and that is the rapture. And notice that the rapture shows Jesus coming from heaven, but he doesn't come all the way to the earth. That's important that you understand that. The Bible says we're going to be caught up into the clouds to meet him in the air. Okay? And then after the rapture, right on the heels of Jesus taking the church, delivering the church, right? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the scripture evidence that talks about how we'll be snatched away from the punishment, from the tribulation. Okay? And there will be the time of great turmoil and chaos like never seen before. Let me just tell you this. The purpose of the tribulation is a pouring out of the wrath of God upon those who blatantly and rebelliously turned their hearts away from the Lord. I mean, they're basically people who've thumbed their nose at God. God has given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to come to him, and they've denied him. And listen, I know that God is a God who's gracious, because he continually, even this morning, on this very day, he's extending himself to us. He is so gracious. But there will come a day when he will come again, the second coming. And the purpose of his coming is to judge. It's going to be a day of reckoning. And so, these are folks that just live in decadence. They disregard the things of righteousness. There are people who are vile and perverse and greedy. And we've seen that in our world, haven't we? We've seen street preachers who've accepted the call of God to be on the streets and proclaim the gospel. And they've been spit upon. They've been mocked. They've been slapped and hit. They've been cursed. We've seen the vile in our world. We've seen educational systems that deny the right of parents to know what's happening in their children's life, and even encourage mutilation. Let me tell you something, that's vile. And we're living in that society today. And there will come a day when our gracious God, the mercy will stop, and there'll be a time of judgment. And we need to be ready. And we need to listen. We need to make sure our children are ready. Can you imagine the horror of parents being raptured to heaven and their children not being with them? Pastor Dan, that's a reality that's going to happen all across this globe. It's the elephant in the pew. We better talk about it. And we better be intentional about raising up the future generations. Somebody needs to say amen. Amen, we do. And so, that's the purpose of the tribulation. And the church of Jesus Christ, listen, will be removed from that. Remember the church because of the gospel. Because of the gospel, we've been forgiven of our sins. Yes, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus became the propitiation. What that means is God looked upon his son at the cross, and our sins were appeased. The wrath of God that we deserve has been removed. We've been saved. There's no need for punishment. Now listen, God disciplines us still today, doesn't he? And I want you to see the differing between punishment and discipline. The Bible says those in whom he loves, he chastens. Aren't you thankful that God chastens us and brings us under his correction? And that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the wrath of God, unfiltered, that's going to come upon this land. And that's altogether a different message. And I encourage you, look at the bold judgments in Revelation. Pastor Aaron, you're just using a scare tactic. Well, listen, scare is a great motivator. Fear is a great motivator. God didn't want you to know about it. He wouldn't put it there, right? He wants us to be aware of it. And so, as Christians, We are going to suffer in this world. Amen? We live in a sin-cursed, broken world. And we will be disciplined. God loves us and He chastens us. But we need to recognize it is by the grace of God that we have been saved. Another reason why I strongly believe that we'll be removed from the earth when the tribulation occurs is because in Revelation there's no mention of the church after chapter 3. As a matter of fact, Jesus comes to the churches and He gives them last minute instructions, right? These things you're doing well. There's such wisdom in Jesus' approach and counsel. You know, He always affirms people, say, you're doing a good job. He's got their ear. He's got their attention. But this I have against you. What's He doing? He's straighten up. Lift up your head. Get ready. Don't serve me in a perfunctory manner. Don't serve me out of obligation. I don't want your hands without your heart. I want your heart. This is about intimacy with Christ. This is about spending eternity with Him. He don't want you to be with Him if you don't want to be with Him. Right? I'm not going to invite people to my house who don't want to be there. Right? I'm going to take them on my Christmas list. Okay, never mind. You know what I'm talking about. And so, there's no mention of the church. Why? Because the church has been raptured. They've been delivered from that. At the end of the seven-year tribulation, there is the second coming of Christ that takes place. And those are two separate events, and we'll explain that in a minute. Here's where the disconnect happens for most people. And I remember being a young man, and I was so confused. Is this the second coming? Is this the rapture? Are they one and the same, right? You guys feel that way? Anybody like that? Yeah. And so let's differentiate between the two, because they are two different events. The rapture is when Jesus comes back to take His people back to heaven with Him. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17b, look with me. Notice that it says, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then tribulation will take place. The second coming is when Jesus comes back. I want you to look with me at two passages. Look with me at Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 through 31. And there's a lot of similarities between the second coming and the rapture. A lot of similarities, a lot of words that are saying, but we really need to see the differences, right? The distinctions. So let's look at those. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 through 31. It says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And He will send forth His angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather His elect from the four winds from one end of the sky to the other. Now, turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. And let's look at verses 11 through 16. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16. And then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one, how many of you guys know who the one is? That is Jesus Christ. The one sitting on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness, He judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on His head are many diadems. And He has the name written that no one knows but Himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which He is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven arrayed in fine linen. Folks, that's us. That's the church. Okay? White and pure. We're following Him on a white horse. How many of you guys like to ride horses? Woo! We're going to be a bunch of stud and studettes just riding on the horse, right? In our white linen, right? Robes. Woo! Man. And from the mouth of God comes a sharp sword, listen, with which to strike down the nations. And He will rule with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. On His robe and on His thigh, He has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, the Bible says that Christ will come with His people, with the church. And guys, listen, we won't have to worry about battling because the Word of God, Jesus, will do it. We're going to be behind Him on our horses, a part of the army. in our white robes. And we don't, you know, I don't want to get my white robe messed up. I'm just going to tell you right now, okay? And you won't have to, because God is just going to say a whisper and everything is going to be wiped out. I mean to tell you, and you're going to have front row seat tickets. I see people at Green Bay, you know, they'll take their shirts off and it's like 20 below and they'll paint half green, half gold and just go nuts. They ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to be incredible. We'll be with Christ when he returns to this earth. We'll be a part of that army. And the sword that comes from his mouth will do the destruction. For you see, at the rapture, Jesus will return for his saints. But at the second coming, he will return with his saints. At the rapture, Jesus will not descend to earth. At the second coming, he will descend to the Mount of Olives. Right? As a precursor of the kingdom that he'll set up. At the rapture, Jesus will bring a blessing for his saints. At the second coming, he will bring judgment for those who've rejected him. And the rapture could occur at any moment. I've seen YouTube videos where a pastor was preaching and a loud sound came. Next thing you know it, 3/4 of the congregation is gone. And there are those that are left behind. And then they begin to cry out, regret. Regret. I think about Matthew chapter 7. But didn't, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't I? And salvation is not about I. Salvation is about Jesus, right? Jesus is the only one that can save us. He's the only one that can redeem us. And so, listen, there are no more signs that must be fulfilled. That means the rapture could happen any minute. But the New Testament is filled with signs of the second coming. But guess what? Every event that takes place is a shadow before us. When we study the prophecies of the Bible and we see Israel that became a state in 1948, and then there was the Six-Day War in 1967, then there was the regathering of Israel, and we see the collection of the nations of Europe that are taking place today. We've been hearing about the red heifer. How many of you guys have been heard about the red heifer? There's a rancher out of Texas. Aren't you? Doesn't that make you proud to be a Texan? Out of Texas, man, comes the red heifer. All right, come on now. I knew God had preference for Texas, right? And then there's the four blood moons, all the Euphrates. How many of you guys have been watching the great mighty Euphrates is drying up? We got to pay attention. This is not coinkydink. This is God at work. And we've got to be alert. We've got to pay attention. And then we have, listen, disease, COVID-19. Matter of fact, there's rumor right now about the avian bird flu. There's a guy in Texas. I guess the rain falls on the just and the unjust, right? Texas rancher was dealing with a heifer. That had the flu, and he got congenital eye. And I'm not trying to scare you, but listen, we've got to pay attention. The scripture says there'll be disease. COVID was like nothing we'd ever seen before. You know, was that just something that happened? We've got to pay attention. And then listen, there's a great falling away that's taking place in the church. There's such a progressive Christianity that's being taught. That God is gracious and he accepts us in our sin. God died for our sins. God hates sin because sin destroys. Sin destroys. I'm hearing stories about young women who think they're men. They're so confused and they have identity crisis, and it's leading to unprecedented numbers of suicide. That's the reason God hates sin, because it destroys. Jesus says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But he said, I've come so that you might have life abundantly. He's come to dispel the darkness and to bring truth. And so when we see these things, we've got to pay attention. Our redemption, listen, is drawing nigh. Now, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. My wife will tell you that. But I really expect that when Jesus comes back for the rapture, that I'm going to be here. I really believe that. That the Lord, we're going to see these things take place. I love what prophecy David Jeremiah says. He says, I'd rather see the upper taker than the undertaker. Me too. I'm really looking forward to that incredibly awesome event. Remember the promise that Jesus made in John chapter 4. We talked about it last week. Okay. Lord, the question was asked by the disciples, where are you going? How do we get there? He's about to ascend into heaven. And they're a little fearful. They've been given the Great Commission. And they know that they're going to be given this assignment, right? And there's some trepidation. There's some fear. And Jesus said to them, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you, and I go to prepare this place for you so that I can come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there will you be also. The rapture is the fulfillment of that promise. He has gone to heaven, and he's been preparing a place for us, and one day soon, we're going to come back with him. Now listen, if the Lord God created all that is in 6 days and did such an awesome, incredible job, amen, didn't he? Don't you look at God's creation and go, wow. If he did that in 6 days, can you imagine what Jesus has done for 2,000 years? Can you? No mind can conceive what the Lord has in store. It's going to be tremendous. And so listen, the hope of the believer is this, that before tribulation breaks out on the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. Look with me again at chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, at verse 13. Paul begins by giving to his readers a preview of what's going to happen in the future, a sort of an overture of events. And he begins by trying to dispel their ignorance. He begins in verse 13. Look at verse 13 there. It says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. In the original language, the word ignorant brethren means ignorant brethren. Okay? I mean, matter of fact, J. Vernon McGee, who used to be a radio broadcaster and preacher, he once said that this was the world's largest congregation of ignorant brethren. All right? We've got to open our Bibles and ask God to help us understand what the Scripture's telling us. So the first thing that Paul does after he dispels their ignorance, he describes the believer's death. He says, listen, I don't want you to, look at the scripture, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning these things of people who've fallen asleep. The word is used for Christians who have died means to sleep in death. But because Christ has risen from the dead, becoming the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, we will rise just as Christ did. When Christ was laid in that tomb, he was asleep for 3 days. He arose from his slumber. And we too will arise from our slumber. Okay? Here's some interesting things about falling asleep. The early Christians had this wonderful word for the burying places of their dead. The Greek word is koimoterion. It means a rest house for strangers, a sleeping place. It's the same word that we get from the English cemetery. The same word was used for inns and hotels in that day. Matter of fact, the Holiday Inn, some of you guys have stayed at some Holiday Inns. It seemed like cemeteries, right? But that's what that word means, a cemetery. Okay? But when you check in to the cemetery, you hope to check out, right? Right? You hope that you'll sleep, knowing that you're going to arise from your slumber and leave that hotel. And that's the picture that we've been given here. That we're going to be buried. I've got loved ones that they haven't been buried, but they've been cremated. And I've heard people that take issue with that. Pastor saying, we shouldn't cremate the body. What's God going to do with ashes? Are you kidding me? You know what you're going to... People that died thousands of years, you think there's going to be bones? It's going to be dust, right? Dust returns back to dust. There's been people in World War II and Vietnam, Korean War, whose bodies have just completely incinerated. Listen, if God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days by his word, he's not going to have a problem doing that. So let's not wrestle with that. Let's not navigate. That's just silly that we argue about those things. So So my parents, my mother-in-law, my brother, my twin nieces, they're in this hotel, right? And they're sleeping. And one day the Lord is going to come back and that body is going to be raised. And the main truth here that we need to remember is just as physically we sleep and we expect to awake in the morning at the hotels, right? We as Christians, when we die, we can be assured that one day we'll be awakened by the return of the Lord, by that trumpet sound of God. It's going to be the alarm clock, right? It's going to wake us up and we're going to meet the Lord in the heavens. That's a great truth. Now, some of you might be thinking, wait a minute, Pastor, whoa, time out. What about the man at the cross, right? Didn't Jesus say to him, today you will be with me in paradise, right? You guys kind of wrestle with that? Wait a minute. What's today mean? It means today. God meant on this day, today, on this day. But what that means, the word paradise is in the bosom of God, in his abode. That means in his presence. When you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're going to immediately go to be with him. Your spirit and mind are going to be with him. Now, you'll not have your glorified body yet. Okay? And that, again, that's just going to be amazing. That we're going to get these new glorified bodies and they're going to be perfect. There's not going to be any scars, any dents. You know, I remember one time when I was a teenager, actually I was a youth pastor, and Leanne remembers I lost a bet. I think I tried to get so many kids at camp, and that many kids came to camp, and I had to shave my head and I looked like a POW. I had dents on my head. I thought, man, it's not going to be pretty when I go bald. And I'm going bald right now. You guys know that. So I'm going to be pretty, okay? And that's not going to be pretty, But I won't have that in heaven. I'm gonna have hair like Jane. I'm gonna do like this, and it's gonna flow. You know, I'm gonna have that. Leanne says, "You need to get a haircut." I said, "Let it be, sweetheart. Let it be. It looks so wonderful, right?" Okay. And so, and I thought about this too. You know, the scripture says, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8, that to God a thousand years is like a day. And you know what? That means that God has only been gone a couple of days, right? And so we wrestle with time. You know, how long are we going to be asleep, Pastor Danny? I'm just going to tell you, when I sleep, and I sleep good, and I wake up, I don't care how long I slept, what time, you know what I mean? It's like, man, what? I slept 10 hours, really? I haven't got that kind of sleep in a long, long time, but back when I was a kid. So, but... You know, we've been given time by God. It's a tool that he uses us. God is outside of time, okay, in space. To God, everything happens all at once. It's all one event to him. I know that's kind of hard to wrap your mind around because we have such infinite minds. But that's not one of them trivial issues. Don't wrestle with that internally. I won't be sleeping for that long. I mean, you're just going to, when you fall asleep, you're going to be waking up in the bosom of God. You know, it's going to be amazing. Your new body will. Does that make sense to you guys? Again, if you've got questions, let's go get some coffee and we'll talk about it. There's a lot here, okay? Let me go on. So after Paul dispels their ignorance and he describes the death, he defends the believer's hope. Look at verse 1, the second portion of that scripture says, "Lest you sorrow." There are many that are in such deep sorrow over their loved ones. He says, "I want you to know this truth so you won't sorrow like others who don't have any hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Listen to me. The Lord Jesus came into this world to take the sting out of death. And what that means is that though we do sorrow because we're going to miss that individual, right? I miss my dad and my mom and my brother. Something terrible, terrible. And that's where the grief comes from. I miss them. But there will come a day where we'll be reunited. And it's going to be amazing. And I'm just going to tell you something. I love them beyond what I could describe to you. But even my love was somewhat tainted because I lived in a sin-cursed, broken world. Can you imagine what the connection will be in heaven? It will be perfection. Right? We won't have all these preconceived notions and perceptions about people. There will be idiocy. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be amazing. Listen, that's what God did for us when he sent his son on the cross to take away the sting of death. And so listen, there might be some of you, I heard the story about a little boy. The teacher asked the question, how many of you want to go to heaven when you die? And everybody in the room, of course, raised their hand except for one student. And she went back to the back of the room and said, son, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Oh, he said, yes, but I thought you were taking a load tonight. Right? And that's kind of how we feel, right? You know, I remember when I was a teenager, like Casey here, you know, I was like, man, I want to get married, you know, I want to experience all these things, right? And sure, God wants us to experience. He wants us to occupy, right? Does that make sense to you guys? But listen, we are to do that very thing. We're to occupy. What that means is we've got a work to do. In lieu of all these things that we know what Scripture says, what's our response as believers? Right? How should we act? What should we do? Okay? And so how should we live? That's the first most important. And I believe, number one, we've got to be looking for the Lord. We've got to be looking for the Lord. If we believe that we should be looking for Him, we should anticipate it. When was the last time you even thought about the fact that Jesus was coming back? Is that something that comes into your mind? The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, we're to be looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also wait for the Savior. Christian, thank you so much for opening the service and say, look, you know what? All these things that we just cherish so much, they're going to be gone. They're going to fade into nothingness. What matters the most is our relationship with Jesus Christ that will take us into eternity with Him forever. So don't be distracted by all the minutia of these things. Go get wrapped up in the weeds. It's temporary. Does that make sense to everybody? Sometimes we need a wake-up call. Sometimes your pastor needs a wake-up call. Right? This morning, I'm telling you, I've been under great conviction all week long. My job as your pastor is to say, wake up! Right? Listen, go to church. Make sure your kids are in church all the time. Man, we get so sticky focused on things of this world, like athletics, for crying out loud. You're talking to an athlete, used to be. Don't laugh at me. What does that matter? What does it matter to gain the whole world and lose our souls? They need to be in church. And if you're there consistently, you're communicating to them that you value the church, the bride of Jesus Christ. There are 59 one another admonishments in Scripture that cannot be fulfilled within any other place other than the context of the church. And I love those one another's. That's what keeps me coming back to church. Like, love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. The church has meant so much in my life. And because of that, you know what? My kids value the church. They love the church. And they know that every Monday, I'm going to call them. And I'm going to say, how was church? What was the message? Right? Because I'm not ever stop parenting, right? Until they go to be with the Lord. Does that make sense to you guys? Pastor Dan, lighten up. No, I can't. God's coming back. And we got to be ready. Secondly, how is it that we respond to this information? We should be living for Jesus. In fact, one of the interesting things about prophecy is wherever you see a prophetic truth in the Bible, almost inevitably married to it are some practical admonitions that have been given to us on what we're to do, on how we're to live. For example, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for what blessed hope and glorious appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw somebody posted on Facebook that we need to make sure that we're all inclusive, that those who are confused about their gender, those who suffer with homosexuality, those who are alcoholics. Yes, yes, they are welcome in the house of God. Absolutely. They need to hear the gospel. But our job is to fulfill the Great Commission. That means we are to teach them to observe all that the Lord has commanded, because we want them to be released out of that and be made born again and free. Does that make sense? Yes, we welcome them. But we better tell them the gospel. And we better pray with the expectation of change in their life. And so we need to live for Jesus. And then thirdly, we should be working for Jesus. He's given us the great commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Listen, all the laws that follow after that, they're never burdensome because they are birthed out of this incredible love that is in you. If ministry ever becomes a burden, if what you're doing out of a sense of obligation, you know, I serve the church, but I just don't really feel like it, then there's something that's wrong. That's an engine indicator light that's going off. And what that means is get right with Jesus. Because when you're right with Jesus, you want to do the things that Jesus wants to do. You want to be at the places that Jesus wants to be. You want to say the things that Jesus says, right? Because he's in you. You've ingested him into your life. He says, ingest the bread of life. He's what sustains you. Does that make sense to everybody? And so he's given us the great commandment. He's given us the great commission. Go ye therefore. It's not the great suggestion. It's the great commission. And we all have a job to do. Because when we are raptured into heaven, there's going to be folks that are left behind. These chairs represent souls. We need to get busy at filling these chairs. And it's not the job of your pastor. I can't do all those things. I'll be overloaded and overwhelmed. I'm only one man. It's the job of the flock. The sheep produce sheep. And we need to be busy. And I'm just going to mention to you something today. And I'm not going to mention any names or anything. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But we have what's called the care portal. And there are just a number of churches in our community that are involved in the care portal. But we have a care portal. And what that means is if there's a need in our community, we have a liaison. And they'll come to the church and they'll say, hey, there's a need. Can we meet that need? And we never deny the need. We never deny the need, right? And so there was a need that was represented, I think it was Easter Sunday. Wasn't it Easter Sunday? And that need was met. That need was met. Now, I'm not going to give you all the details. And because of that, that individual whose need was met is in church today with her family. Listen, when Gary stands up here, it's not something that we do out of formality or because it's on the list and you check it off. It means something. Then when Gary says, would you be generous this morning? Because this money doesn't go to just salary Mimi. It goes towards things like that that make a difference for people in their life. And it makes a difference unto eternity. And so when we say, hey, there's a position that's open in the church, would you fill that? Listen, the Lord's coming back and we've got to get everybody we can ready. So if you gifted in that area, yes, I'll do it. Does that make sense? There's a work to do. Somebody said, if you believe Jesus is coming, he's coming back, you can't just live any way you want. You can't. If you really believe that Jesus is coming back, you don't want to be ashamed at his coming. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is coming back for those who have placed their faith in him. If you've not done that, then the scripture says you'll be left behind. But today, you can get your name on the list. Right? You can say, Lord Jesus, I want to receive you as my Savior. I don't want to be left behind. I want to go to heaven. When you come back for your own, I want to be included in that number. Right? I want to be one of those wearing the white robe. I want to be behind Jesus, not before him, right? I want to be counted as the faithful. Do you remember what Jesus said to us? He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And so today, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe in your heart that Jesus raised him from the dead. Listen, you will be saved. When that rapture happens, I don't know exactly when it is, you'll be caught up to meet the Lord and we'll live with Him forever and forever. And not will we, listen, we're going to live with Him and we're going to reign and rule with Him. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be beyond your description. There's no other way whereby men shall be saved. Trust Jesus with all of your life. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Gracious God, you are just that. You are so gracious because you are grace-filled. When Adam and Eve went against the grace of God, when Adam and Eve somehow bought into the notion that there was something better apart from the Word of God, that horrific event that took place has changed the course of history. God, you are not shocked by it. You were not crushed by it. Because in your sovereignty, you knew it was going to happen. And you already had a plan in place. And that plan was that you would give something so precious to you. You would give your one and only Son, Jesus. You would send Him to this sin-cursed planet. And there your Son would die on the cross. His blood would be spilt out. And for those who by faith respond to the wooing of your Holy Spirit and say, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart and my life. I confess my sins. I know that there's only one way that I can be saved, and it's by you, Jesus. So here's my life. And then you'll be given the blessed hope of eternity. If there's someone here today that wants to make that life-altering, eternity-altering decision, then I want you to come and see me. You can come see me today. I'm going to hang around for some time in this place. Or you can call the office. You can set up an appointment. I don't want you to be coerced nor manipulated. I want this to be a decision that you make from your heart. Jesus said this, if you want to follow me, you must first deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And so I want you to tarry on these things. Search the scriptures deeper. Call, let's meet together. Gracious God, once again, we thank you for your presence that's with us today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the instructions that you give. Thank you for the promises that you have made. God, we cling tightly to those in a world full of chaos because you're our certainty, you're our grounding, you're our footing. So if there's someone here today that knows you, but Lord Jesus, they've not been intimate with you for a long while. Maybe their service has been perfunctory, out of a sense of obligation. But today they want to rededicate themselves. They know where to find you. I don't need to tell them what to pray. They know what to pray. So God, I thank you for the faithfulness of your Holy Spirit that has worked today. Been so gracious today. God, we just want to tell you we love you. And we pray all these things in the name to which there is no name above the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen.